I ask you all to please join me in a spirit of prayer as we get ready to begin. Loving God, guide our thoughts and our words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Fear is a reality. And when I think of fear and what it can do to a person, there's an image that comes to my mind. It's something that happened a little more than 14 years ago. I was living in Kansas, and my friend Rose was an intern at a church, and she was working with the junior high youth in that church that summer. And she asked me, "Jeremiah, I need some help. We're going to do a field trip. I don't have enough volunteers. I need another adult to go with me because the kids are going to go to a local United Methodist camp and they're going to do a high ropes course that that camp has. And then after that, the kids were going to go swimming." And I thought, well, I can help out my friend. So I did. Now, we lived in Winfield, Kansas. It's in south central Kansas, and it gets hot there. Anyone here ever lived in Kansas? But that day wasn't just hot. It was a lot more than hot. I think, in all honesty, it was about 106. It's about as hot a day as I have ever experienced in my life anywhere. But still, we got in the church van, we drove about 10, 15 miles to the camp, and we started on doing the high ropes obstacles. And the first one went fine, no problem whatsoever. And then we got to the second obstacle, and everything went wrong. Now, the second obstacle was you'd climb up a great big tall pole that kind of looked like a telephone pole, and at the top, there was a platform. You would jump off the platform and grab a trapeze, and then get lowered back to the ground. Now, it's a high ropes course. You had a belt around you. You had ropes connected to you. You had a helmet on. It was designed to be something you could do safely. And the two people who were the belayers on those ropes have been doing this all summer. They knew what they were doing. And the first kid did this obstacle no problem whatsoever. And then unfortunately, there was a seventh grade boy that climbed up to the top of that pole. And he got scared. And he froze. Absolutely rigid in terror. He couldn't move. He couldn't jump. For more than an hour in that blazing hot sun, he just stood up there, not able to move. The adults on the ground, we tried to talk with him, we tried to pray with him, we tried to encourage him. Some of the other kids tried to encourage him, but he was scared. He was frozen in fear. The irony was he was scared and he thought, if I jump, something bad might happen to me. But of course, every minute he stood in that sun with no shade and no water, he was putting himself in greater danger than he ever would have been to jump off and just let the rope catch him. But see, that's the thing about fear. Fear isn't rational. We think fear is keeping us safe, but what really fear is doing to us is putting us in greater and greater danger. Putting ourselves in greater danger, putting our relationships in danger, putting our relationship with God in danger. Nothing that happens when we are completely controlled by our fears is going to be good. Fear is the enemy. Fear is dangerous. And so this month, we're going to spend a month of sermons thinking about how does God, through the Scriptures, seek to help us overcome our fears. We were sitting in the worship team about a month ago, not long after I'd arrived, and I was kind of saying, what are some things that we need to do some sermons on? And I'm not going to claim to speak for anyone who was there that night, but somebody said we need to talk about fear because people are scared. We live in uncertain and fearful times. And the truth is, we do. Humans always have. And fear has always been dangerous. Now, unfortunately, there's a foreword or a thing that's been going around the internet that says, the Bible says 365 times, don't be afraid, one for each day of the year. As best as I can tell, that is not in fact true. Amazing, you know, something that someone forwarded on the internet might not be true. But the Bible does say more than 100 times, don't be afraid. As my spouse Megan put it when she did a sermon series on a similar theme several months ago, she said, if you really think about it, if you look at the number of times the Bible says it, don't be afraid, fear not, do not let your fears control your life. That's actually one of the biggest themes in Scripture's period. It appears more times in more ways and in more places than almost anything else in Scripture. Which kind of leads me to think that you think maybe we humans have had a problem with this fear stuff for a long time? If the words that God spoke through people almost 3,000 years ago and the words that God still needs to speak to us today are the same? Now, I'm going to be honest here. We have fears in our lives. Most fears probably fall into one of two categories. Either something bad has happened and you're worried it might happen to you again. I think of some people I know who've overcome cancer, and yet they always have that fear in the back of their mind that it might come back. And that might be a reality for some of you sitting here today. Or we fear something that hasn't happened, but we fear might happen. We might fear that we'll lose our job. We might fear for our health or for the health of someone else that we care about. We might fear that our relationship with someone might end. We might fear war. We might fear terrorism. We might fear illness, natural disasters. Shoot, there was a TV show I really liked and my wife really liked where there was a character who was afraid of bunnies. Now I'm seeing if anyone actually knows the show I'm thinking of. I'm not seeing any nods, so that's okay. We almost all fear something, and whether and whatever it is, if it controls our lives, it'll wreck us. I mean that. It'll wreck us. More on why I know that's true later. Fear will raise your blood pressure. Fear will compromise your immune system. Fear will cause cells in your brain to die. Fear will literally kill you when it gets out of control. Not just emotionally, not just relationally, but physically. And that brings us to our passage for today. Now you might say to yourself, okay, you're talking about fear and you picked a passage that even though there's a lot of verses, never actually uses the word fear. Well, that's true. But I want you to think about that there's two major characters in this passage of Scripture. There is Jesus and there is a man who is fearful for his son. And I want to offer today that in some ways that man can be all of us. Because that man is scared. He's got every right to be scared. His son is sick. He believes his son has an evil spirit of some sort. Whatever is causing it, that young man is sick. And he's not just, oh, he's got a little cough. He is sick to the point that death is a real possibility. It's understandable that this man is scared. Some of us might be able to all too easily identify with how that man felt. Whatever it is in our lives that we have been scared of, we are like that man. We are facing that fear and we are concerned about it. And it may be a rational fear, it may be an irrational fear. It's probably some combination of both. But all of us have probably feared to lose someone we love or feared to lose something that we care about or just feared something. But even in the case of someone like this man in the story who's got a rational fear, he's scared of something that's a very real possibility, we cannot let our fear get out of control. Because if we let our fears get out of control, they're going to eat us alive. They're going to lead us to do something that we can't take back. They're going to lead us to do something that's going to hurt us or someone else or probably both. To be afraid is not a sin. You are going to be scared at some point in your life. You may be scared right now. But to let fear get out of control will take us away from God and from the life that God wants us to have. Jesus asks the man with the sick son, do you believe that I can help you? And this is the crux of the whole point. This verse is so powerful. The man says, I believe. Help my unbelief. How many of you believe? But you also know there's some unbelief in there too. Isn't that all of us from time to time? If we're here today, we probably think that we need to come to Jesus, that in some way Jesus is going to help change and transform our lives. But if we're really honest, me too, we probably believe, but we have a certain amount of unbelief. We're like that man, we're hanging on by our fingernails if we're lucky. But here's the thing, here's the amazing thing, here's the good news in this story. Even though that man does not fully believe, his son is still healed. Jesus is still able to change his life and the life of his son, even though that belief is not complete. Jesus did not come to fix people who had it all together. If we all had it all together, Jesus would never have needed to come in the first place. But God saw a world broken by sin and fear, fear that often led to sin, fears that tore people apart, fears that divided people, fears that led to sickness and death. And God said, I will show them that I love them. And as it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, God's perfect love casts out fear. God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord can help us not be consumed by our fears. I speak from some experience on fear. I've battled anxiety off and on for a good chunk of my life. I don't know why. I don't know if it was something happened when I was a kid, if it's just a genetic predisposition in my family. I don't know. Either way, I can tell you, fear is scary. And I don't mean that as a joke. I don't know a better way to put it. Some years ago, when I was in seminary, I was meeting with a Christian counselor. I was fearful about the future. I did not know what the future was going to hold, and it was very hard for me to believe that the future could be better than what the past had been. I kept looking to the past, trying to get back there, not realizing I needed to live into the future, and I was struggling. And this very wise Christian man put it to me like this. These are not his exact words, but the gist of it is. He said, you can turn from the future and try to run away from it. You can try to run away from whatever it is you fear. But it's like trying to run away from the setting sun. Now, this is where I'm going to edit what he said a little bit. Usain Bolt was, until yesterday, the fastest man in the world. But even he can't outrun the setting sun. He can run in something like 25 miles per hour. The earth is turning at thousands of miles per hour. You can't outrun the setting sun. You can try and try and try, but you're going to find darkness eventually. Or, and this is what that man said to me that has been on my heart and helped God speak to me so many times. Instead of running away, you can turn 180 degrees, stare into the darkness that is coming, and start walking. Because if you keep walking, you will find the rising sun. You will find the rising S-U-N, the metaphor of the rising sun that offers us hope. And you will also find the rising S-O-N, Jesus Christ who rose from the dead because God wanted to show us that love was stronger than fear and death and sin and evil. If you just keep going, Jesus will be there and Jesus will help you keep walking until you find the light again. Now that's not easy, but I think that's good news, isn't it? Wouldn't you rather know that if you just keep going, God's going to help you find the hope and the healing eventually? Christ is going to be with us in those moments of unbelief. Christ is going to be with those moments of fear. Christ is going to say, keep your eyes on me. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. I will not let you down. A large part of the good news is that a God loved us so much that when God looked down and saw the suffering of humanity, God said, I am not going to let them keep being afraid. I'm going to offer them hope. I want them to know that my love can help them overcome this fear that's tearing them apart. Brothers and sisters, whatever your age is, fear is real. It is. But God's love can help us face it and overcome it. The hope of Christ, the wisdom of God's Holy Spirit can help us see our fears for what they are and help us see that there is hope and that we are not alone in this. And when we face our fears, God can use us to be ambassadors out into the world to help others face their fears as well. Because wouldn't this world be a whole lot better if there weren't so many scared people hurting each other all the time? Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, it's hard, but help us to open our hearts to you. Let us open our hearts so that your perfect love can drive out our fears. And may we be the tools guided by your Spirit and your wisdom and your hope to help others drive out the fears in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.